Our scripture lesson is found this morning in the 10th chapter of Mark, Mark chapter 10, verses 35 through 45. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldst do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. Jesus said unto them, Ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, We can. And Jesus said unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard of it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, Ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Father, bless our hearts, we pray. And we would ask that the Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts as we try to worship you, as we open our hearts to the Scripture in Jesus' name. Amen. The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. During these Advent Sundays, I'd like to address the question of why Jesus came. And using Jesus' own words, I came to, and then the reasons for which he came, look at some of the facets of his purpose for being here. Why Jesus came, if we address it in a philosophic way, the question itself is deeper than we can understand. And I'm sure throughout the ages of eternity we'll be asking that question, why did Jesus come? You want to have some fun sometime when your wife tells you that she loves you, just say why. Or your dad or your mother tells you that they love you, or so on. When you stop to think, why do you love somebody? Well, because. I guess that's about as good an answer as you can give. Those reasons go deeper than we can understand. But in simple practical terms, Jesus said what it was that he came to do. In this case, he said he came to serve and to give. But the background for his statement, I came not to be served, but to serve, is the thought that I want to share this morning. I'd like to share some thoughts on ambition, on dreaming about what I should be and what I should do, and then to see Jesus' requirements for this quest for excellence that ought to be a part of our Christian faith. James and John were ambitious, and they came to Jesus expressing their ambition in two ways. Number one, they said, we want you to do something for us. They showed a view of God that a lot of us have, that God kind of exists in order to fulfill us and to serve us and to do our bidding. And then finally they said, we want to rise by following you to a place of honor and greatness. And their view of faith was that following Jesus, this good life will come And we will be seen by all people, including ourselves, as having, quote, arrived. These are natural requests, I suppose. They may not be the norm for Christian faith, but they weren't exactly what Jesus had in mind as goals of his followers. I'd like to ask the question this morning, is ambition commendable? Is spiritual ambition commendable? I had a district superintendent send around a questionnaire about 10 years ago. I won't tell you what his name was, but part of that questionnaire was, what kind of church do you want to pastor? Where do you want to be in 5 years? Where would you like to be in 10 years? I sat down and I thought a long time. First of all, I thought, what does this fellow mean? He doesn't have a church like I want anyway. And what kind of church do I want? I made up my mind when I left Eastern Nazarene College, the last place in the world I wanted to serve was on the New York District. I'd been in every district and just about every church on the districts, traveling for Eastern Nazarene. And New York was the graveyard of preachers. And I wanted to go back to God's country, which is Ohio. Quit saying amen. I don't really believe it anymore. Let me tell you what I found out, to cut it short. There's no promotion from the center of the will of God. And you know where I ended up, 13 years on the New York District. Came to love that mission field. I was told by my Ohio God's people buddies that I'd committed suicide by going to New York. But I just seemed to feel that that was where the Lord wanted me to go. But as I looked at that questionnaire, the only thing I could finally put down was that, you know, I'm not an officer, I'm just a private. And wherever God wants me to be, I want to strive for excellence. And I meant that. I want to be the best possible pastor I can be where I am now. And I'll leave it up to God what that involves as far as place and position. Yet I think there is a place for spiritual ambition. Moody said one day, the world has yet to see what God can do with the man that is totally given to him. Then he added, but I intend to be that man. Now that's ambition. And I'm not suggesting that if we take that same stance that we'll all be Dwight L. Moody's. But the world has been changed because of Dwight Moody, that shoe salesman from Boston, who made it his ambition to belong to God. And I want to ask the question, does a Christian, a serious Christian, and is there any other kind, can a serious Christian be anything less than his best for God? Of course, that leaves the question, just how specific should our ambition be? I've seen a college student or two that I was pretty sure felt that God was calling them to be a general superintendent. And how fortunate the church is going to be when they make it. Get a black suit. That's one of the first things you got to do, get a black suit. Jesus said in verse 38, and I think he said it kindly and lovingly, you don't really know what you're asking when you want to sit on the right hand and on the left hand. You don't understand. And then he began to talk about a cup and about a baptism. How blind we often are of what life is all about. And you know, we really need to be careful for the things about the things for which we're striving, lest perchance we might just get those things. If God would give us all the answers to our prayers, might be the worst thing that could happen to us. How easy it is to see the glamour of greatness and miss the cost. My wife was reading to me on the trip yesterday from Ohio, I think out of the Reader's Digest, don't tell anybody, but someone said to a piano player after a great concert, I'd give my life if I could play the piano like that. And the piano player said, "That's exactly what I've done." And people say, "I'd give my life if I could be that kind of Christian." That's exactly what it takes. Jesus said, "It's easy to underestimate the depth of somebody else's consecration. Can you meet the requirements I have met? Can you drink of the cup that I drink of? Can you be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with?" And I think I'm not doing James and John any injustice when I say it was rather glibly that they said, "Yes, we can do that. We can. Sure, we can drink any cup you can drink and we can be baptized." Jesus, knowing what was down the road for James and John, said, "You will indeed drink that cup. And you will be baptized with that baptism." But then, as if to say, he really didn't say it, but he said it. Your ambition is going to be transformed along the way. And you're not going to worry about who's sitting on the right hand or on the left hand. You're then going to want to be like me. That's going to be your ambition. And it's going to be fulfilled. Can you drink the cup? What was the cup that Jesus drank? How would you answer that question? What is the cup that Jesus... We think of that phrase in the garden when he said, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." We think of the bitterness and the sorrow and our sins and death. But I think all that can be summarized with that phrase, "Not my will, but thine be done." He's speaking here of the cup of submission, recognizing a higher will, a coordinating power that stamps our lives as successful or as utter failure, regardless of how other people would judge our lives. And in our ambition, in our dreams, in our desire for excellence, if we can learn to drink the cup of submission to the total will of God and believe that He has a plan for our lives that fits into His great plan with a capital P, C.S. Lewis called the dance, but he wasn't a Nazarene. If we can drink that cup, we're on our way. Then he said the baptism. Again, we think in terms of the baptism of the Holy Spirit as an experience or the cleansing or the power. And it's all that. But I see Christ's baptism as a total immersion in God, a being caught up with the business of doing God's will. This is something of the baptism. Jesus lived in order to do the will of God. You say, that's all very good for pastors and for people who are called. No, that's what Jesus is saying to all of us. There's no difference. But he says, can you drink that cup of submission? Can you be baptized, immersed in God? Can you be filled with the Holy Spirit until you live to be what God would have you to be? They said, we can. And Jesus said, you're right, you can. And I think that's about where I am this morning, where they are, where they were. Sort of glib, and I say, we can, I can. I understand those doctrines, I understand those. Jesus says, you can. But then he went on and began to explain holy ambition. Why Jesus came, just one facet of why Jesus came. And here, practically, we begin to see what Jesus saw as his life's work. He said, in your ambition, you're thinking in terms of what God can do for you. You're thinking in terms of where you can ascend and where you can reach to the heights of honor. But he said, whoever wants to be great among you shall be your minister. And that doesn't mean minister of the gospel. The word is diakonos or deacon. which means an attendant, a waiter at tables, a servant. Who wants to be great among you? Let him become a waiter at tables, a servant. And whoever of you will be the chiefest shall be the servant. And here the word is doulos, slave, bondsman. Whoever will be chiefest shall be the slave of all. For even the Son of Man, even myself, Jesus Christ, he says, came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to serve, and to give. Jesus saw his life's work as actually pouring out himself for others. Not just their souls, not just for their, quote, salvation, but how he loved, how he cared, how warm he was. Perhaps it'd be good for us on this Sunday, after we get through seeing the parade, to look at Philippians, the second chapter, beginning with verse 5, where it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being found in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant. Being found in fashion of a man, he became obedient," there's that obedience, "even unto death, the death of the cross." But then as we read on through that passage in the fifth chapter of Philippians, we also see an exaltation. "Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name." As we follow God with that cup and with that baptism, we're not higher than our Lord. We exist too in order to serve, to love, to care for others with the unconditional love of God. We too are called to give. Someone said, "That's all I ever hear down at the Nazarene Church is give, 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 give." That's what it's all about. That's what Christian faith is. Give to share what we receive from God. The quest for excellence is not an option for those that want to be like Jesus. But in our quest, we must remember that there's a cup and a baptism. And if Jesus came to serve and to give, then by his grace, we too may rise to serve. And out of the riches of his grace, to give. Father, like James and John, very often we look into the future. We're not satisfied with what we are, and we want to be more. We want to be all that we can be. We do not pray that you will take away our ambition, our desire for excellence. We pray that you will sanctify our ambition. Lift our sights, we pray, from exalting ourselves to being like Jesus, who came to give, who came to serve. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.